I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI and WGBH here in Boston. What a difference a few days can make in U.S.-Canada relations. Last week, President Trump was talking about why he didn't want to have a one-on-one meeting with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to discuss trade.
Because his tariffs are too high and he doesn't seem to want to move, and I've told him, forget about it. And frankly, we're thinking about just taxing cars coming in from Canada. That's the mother load. That's the big one. We're very unhappy with the negotiations and the negotiating style of Canada.
Yesterday, with a new U.S.-Canada-Mexico trade deal in hand, that icy tone had melted.
I have to certainly give my highest regards to Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau. A lot of stories came out about Justin and I having difficulty together, and we did over the trade deal. But I'll tell you, it's turned out to be a very, very good deal for both and a very, very good deal for all three. It puts us in a position that we've never been in before.
So how did Trudeau and Canada win such praise from the White House? According to one report, the answer is Canada's donut strategy in its trade talks with the U.S. Former Trudeau advisor Roland Paris says the donut analogy is close, but not quite there.
The report that described it as a donut strategy suggested that the effort was to go around the White House and to build relationships with people in Congress, with state governors, with mayors, with people at all levels of the political system and with American industry. The reason the metaphor is wrong is that it's more like a Danish than a donut because the hole is filled as well.
Gotcha.
Because part of the strategy was to build strong links with the administration, the White House itself, and that did take place.
Right, so maybe a cronut.
Yeah, there you go.
Whatever it's called. You said at all levels of the U.S. political system, that included public and private. Who was enlisted in this project on the Canadian side?
Well, it was quite extraordinary on the Canadian side, and there was a degree of unity in the Canadian effort that we haven't seen before that reflected this sense of threat to our economic interests. But on the Canadian side, most obviously, you had provincial premiers, mayors of cities. You had a group of advisors pulled together from different political parties and a kind of extraordinary display of solidarity among parties that are normally snipping at each other.
So this project even enlisted former Conservative Prime Minister Brian Mulroney, yeah?
Well, Mr. Mulroney, of course, was prime minister when the first Canada-U.S. free trade agreement was negotiated in the late 1980s. So he had a particular interest in this issue. But he also happens to have a place in Florida, very near Wilbur Ross. And he has a relationship with Donald Trump. And so he was one of the people that the current Canadian government reached out to. And as I said, he represented a different party than Mr. Trudeau's party.
Yeah. Do you know any specific details about the actual kind of access that Brian Mulroney got? Because he has this social circuit in Florida with Wilbur Ross and Donald Trump.
He was at Mar-a-Lago one evening and was brought up and actually sang a song, as he's been known to do in the past, and chatted with Donald Trump, who was present. But, other conversations were, of course, private.
So a former prime minister from Canada who's conservative going to bat for a current prime minister who's liberal, how rare is that sort of bipartisanship in Canada?
It's pretty unusual. Now, bear in mind that Mr. Mulroney had a particular interest in trying to salvage NAFTA since he was a part of negotiating in the first place. But it's hard to overstate the extent to which Donald Trump's attitude towards NAFTA and towards Canada in general has galvanized Canadians. You know, this is a core economic interest for Canada. 75% of our exports go to the United States. It's about a fifth of our entire GDP. This is the one truly existential interest in our foreign policy. And I've seen a level of unity in the political class, which has frayed a little bit in the last few months, but certainly across the country, and support for the prime minister's efforts that I haven't seen before.
Canada didn't do this when Obama or Bush were president. Why'd they feel it had to do this now with Trump? Not just play the face-to-face with the Trump team, but also triangulate around him to get this new NAFTA sorted.
Well, the reason for this was quite simple, that our core economic interests were at stake, that even just the auto sector alone, there are 100,000 jobs and many, many, many more jobs that are dependent on that. And the idea of a 25% tariff on Canadian autos going to the United States, that sharpens the mind. But I do want to emphasize one thing, which is we're talking as though this thing is over. From the Canadian perspective, this is an ongoing challenge. We're dealing with a U.S. president who's mercurial and unpredictable. There are remaining issues to be resolved, including these steel and aluminum tariffs that are still in place.
Isn't there a safeguard if Trump tries to withdraw from the deal now?
The deal seems to be the deal at this point, and it's a matter of passing it through our respective ratification processes. But the steel and aluminum tariffs remain in place and were not lifted as a result of the deal and aren't part of the deal, and those remain important to Canada. And although one would hope that this will set a path for a more positive relationship between Canada, the United States, and Mexico, we can't afford not to take precautions. And anything can happen, as we've seen with this president. And part of taking precautions is saying this campaign is going to continue indefinitely.
Roland Paris, a former foreign policy advisor to Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Marco.